All right. Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Unity Center of Light. I am April May, licensed Unity teacher with Unity Center of Light, and welcome on this Blessed Father's Day, June the 18th, 2023. So I'd like to get us started this morning by saying if we have any newcomers here today, we'd like to welcome you. If you'd like to let us know that you're here, you can put a note in the chat and we'll be happy to greet you. And if you're interested and don't get our email communications, please put your email address in the chat and we'll make sure that we add you to our mailing list. So, all right. Can you guys see that? So please join me as we share together the mission of Unity Center of Light. Together, the mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. So today is a very special day. We have a very special speaker joining us. We have a special ceremony today to honor both Father's Day and Juneteenth. And I'd like to invite Greg to share with us the daily word this morning.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Father's Day. All right, today's blessing for fathers. I bless my father and the men who have shown me fatherly kindness. Today, I bless and give heartfelt thanks to my father and the men who were fatherly figures to me. Their protecting presence, wise guidance, and caring instruction have helped make me the person I am today. I bless my father and those who shared a father's love and care with prayers of appreciation for my memories throughout all the seasons of my life. Through good times and bad, I see God expressing through my father and the men who have shown me fatherly love. I bless them with prayers of gratitude, affirming they know the love and care of God as they have shown it to so generously and faithfully to me. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Greg, for sharing
You're
that
welcome.
with us today. So, some of you most likely know our guest speaker today a lot better than I do. He was a founding member of Unity Center of Light, choir director, and musician for a number of years. We can say in the New Thought community that Eamon he has been getting around. He's been with a lot of good spiritual communities, and he's here today to share with us. And we are very blessed to have him here with us. So I just would like to say, welcome, Eamon, and we look forward to your sharing today.
Thank you. Thank you very much, April. Good morning, Unity Center of Light. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you today. As April just said, I was one of the founding members of this center and the original minister of music here. And it was here at Unity Center of Light that I came to understand that I could minister to others while being my true, authentic self. And I owe that to Butch and Pam and Patty and so many others for giving me that gift. And I will be forever grateful to them and this center for allowing me to grow spiritually and with myself that way. And it's also an honor to be here because I know the high level of quality of teaching that you all receive week after week. When I was here, Reverend Butch was simply one of the best teachers I had ever experienced. And I'm sure that hasn't changed. So thank you, Butch, for giving me an opportunity to try and know that, try and stand in your shoes. Happy Father's Day to all of you who are fathers or who serve as a father image in someone's life. Now, my talk today isn't necessarily about fathers or necessarily directed to fathers, but it is intended to liberate fathers and hopefully anyone else who listens. So I hope that Father to Father, you will give me a pass on giving a traditional Father's Day talk. You know, let's say a prayer and then we'll get started. Father, Mother, God, what I know is that there is only God, and that God lives, moves, and has its being in and as each of us that is under the sound of my voice. And so I know that God is present here today, calling us forth to listen, to learn, to give, and to share the light that is Spirit, the love that is Spirit, the peace, the joy, the vitality that is Spirit. And we share it and we embrace it and we celebrate it this day as we celebrate all the fathers in our midst and all the fathers in our lives. And for this opportunity to serve and to be a vessel of Spirit in this place and time, I am grateful. And I surrender it all now to the law, knowing that it has been heard, received, and Spirit says yes, and I say yes too by affirming. And so it is. And so it is. Now, part of my daily spiritual practice is to read the daily word and the daily guides in the Science of Mind monthly magazine. Well, the March monthly guides were daily guides were written by Reverend Dr. Michael Gott. And before the reader even got into the day-to-day messages, Reverend Gott started us off with the following quote from Debbie Ford. The greatest act of courage is to be and to own all of who you are without apology, without excuses, without masks to cover the truth of who you are. Then, in the March 20th guide, Reverend Gott wrote the following. Now, he started off with the title, Nothing to Prove, hence my title. And he starts off with a quote by Dr. Brené Brown, which says, authenticity is a collection of choices that we have to make every day. It's about the choice to show up and be real, the choice to be honest, the choice to let our true selves be seen. And then he follows that with a quote from Ernest Holmes, which reads, God is always God, no matter what our emotional storm or what our objective situation may be. There is always a something hidden in the inner being that has never been violated. And Dr. Gott's message that day reads, Reverend Melinda Wood Allen is a treasure in our movement, a lifelong singer, songwriter, and choral director who followed her evolution and her calling into spiritual leadership as a senior minister of an independent New Thought church in Dallas. We've been doing music together at the Big Sky Retreat in Montana for the last several years. And like me, she fully participates in the programs and workshops offered there. This past year, she shared a profound insight in one of the sessions. After an exercise, she said to the group, I'm ready to be myself rather than prove myself. Her words struck me to my core. How often in my life have I made choices and taken actions so as to prove myself to other people, to show them that I'm worthy of connection and belonging, to demonstrate my value and worth? I've been in this teaching a long time, and intellectually, I know there is no need for me to prove myself in any way. I am an expression of Spirit. But my unconscious mind continues to resist the deeper embodiment of this knowing, always offering up evidence of the ways in which I still don't measure up. Dr. Brené Brown speaks about hustling for our worth. Many of us spend so much time and energy doing just that. But what if we could finally rest in the truth of our wholeness and trust that there is nothing to prove ever? What might we become? ourselves, of course, but more clearly and powerfully than we've ever been before. And the affirmation summing up that is, I am whole, perfect, and complete, just as I am. I'm an expression of divine love, power, beauty, and creativity. I am willing to be myself fully and openly and revel in the spiritual freedom. And I could almost just leave it at that, but I think I'll add a little bit more. Like Reverend God, Reverend Wood's words struck me to my core. I'm ready to be myself rather than prove myself. Because like Reverend God, it became clear to me in that moment how much of my lifetime and energy I have spent trying to prove myself to others. And I don't want to live that way anymore. And fathers, if there's any one new gift you give your children this day, let it be that you release them from any obligation to prove themselves to you. Let them know that you love them for who they are, as they are, period. Make sure that your children know that as far as you are concerned, they are perfect just as they are. They have nothing to prove to you or anyone else. As Billy Joel sings, assure them that I love you just the way you are. And fathers, let that also be a gift that you give yourself. Free yourself from any societal, family, or work-imposed obligation to prove yourself to anyone. I'm betting that your children and loved ones would love to see and experience the authentic you. And I'm betting they would soon, if not immediately, love and cherish the real you. And wouldn't that be such a relief? To no longer have to pretend and hide. You know, the macho and always strong and always having the right answers, those personas that we put on because it's what we're supposed to do as men. That stuff gets heavy and it weighs us down. It puts up barriers between us and our loved ones. So maybe it's just time to let that stuff go. It's time to set yourself free. Fathers, you have nothing to prove. Since reading that March 20th guide, I've made it a regular part of my spiritual practice to state the following affirmation. I choose now to be myself rather than prove myself. I have nothing to prove. And I want you to affirm that with me. Say this after me. I choose now to be myself rather than prove myself. Say that. I have nothing to prove. And I will, and I hope you join me in continuing to affirm this message until it sinks into my soul and becomes one of the sponsoring thoughts underlying all my other thoughts. Because as I said earlier, reading Reverend Gott's guide made me face how much of my energy goes into proving myself. If you don't know it, I'm a black gay man who embraces New Thought theology with two children and a husband. Based on one or more of these factors, I am generally an outlier in many of my settings, including family, work, and spiritual communities in which I choose to participate. And I have spent an inordinate amount of energy making sure that those around me are comfortable with me, are assured that I fit, that I belong, that I'm just one of them. And that is exhausting. But ultimately, I'm not blaming anyone else for my circumstances or stresses. I mean, yeah, I sometimes do, but in the truth, I know that they aren't really to blame. You see, I am a divine expression. I am made in the image and likeness of God, and I have the ability to change my thoughts. As we like to say, change your thinking, change your life. And either that's true or it's not. And because I believe it is, then I have the power to change my life. Sometimes it comes down to reminding ourselves of what we believe and then standing firmly on that belief. In other words, it comes down to where do we place our faith? If I believe that God is omnipresent, then that must mean that God is fully present within me and you. Because if there's some part of me or you that is not fully and completely occupied by the divine presence, then that means that God is not everywhere present. But if God is truly omnipresent, then I must be one with God. You must be one with God. Now, you get to choose what you believe. But as for me, I choose the omnipresence of God. And since I choose to know that God is omnipresent, that I am one with God and that you are one with God, then why would you or I need to prove anything to anybody? Since we are one with God, then obviously we are enough and then some. But our challenge is, we don't always remember this truth. We don't always live from this truth. So we often take on the burden of proving our worthiness, of justifying our existence, when the truth is that we have nothing to prove. Not even to God. Remember, we are one with God, and God knows its own worthiness, its magnificence. It knows its own splendor. And if God knows that about itself, which includes you and I, then God knows that about you and me. So there's nothing to prove, and no one who needs it proven to them. Not now, never. So this is the truth that we must fully incorporate within ourselves if we are to ever become true spiritual masters. And I want you to just take some time and help me look at the temptations that Jesus went through in the wilderness as presented in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. And it reads as such. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written, Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give to you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended to him. Now let's look at that. First, Jesus went into the wilderness after he was baptized. Metaphysically, we understand that after Jesus, our elder brother and way-shower, committed himself to the path of truth, committed himself to being a conscious vessel of divinity here on this earth plane. His commitment to that path was challenged. Now, the first thing we read is that the Spirit led him to the wilderness. That lets us know that this wilderness experience was God ordained. It was not being done to Jesus, but it was being done for him and through him. And it is said that Jesus was tempted by the devil. Now, in New Thought, we don't believe in an actual separate being called the devil. There's only one presence and one power in the universe, God, the good, omnipotent. That's what we say, and that's what I believe, and I'm sure you believe it too. And again, God is either omnipotent, which is all power, or not. Because if we believe God is omnipotent, all power, then we don't believe that God shares power with any other being, or it's in a contest with any other being. Either God is all power or God is not. And because we know God is, then we have to listen to what the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary says. And that is that all the thoughts in one that fight against and are adverse to the truth belong to the state of mind that is known to metaphysicians as the devil. In other words, the devil is simply our own subconscious beliefs that challenge the truth that we are one with God and thus are the living embodiment and vehicle for the expression of all divine attributes. Jesus had to face down his own subconscious beliefs that would deny his divinity. You and I have to do the same. And interestingly enough, if you look at the temptations that Jesus faced, the first two were clearly about asking him to prove himself in some way. In each, he was asked to prove that he was the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And if you are the Son of God, jump off this high temple and let God's angels rescue you. And to each temptation, Jesus essentially responded that he didn't need to prove anything. And neither do you. Neither do I. Ours is to know, like Jesus, that we are one with God. That we don't have to prove our inherent worth or value to anyone or anything. And it is knowing this truth, embodying this truth, that will set us free to exercise the full authority and freedom given to us as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Now, if you're like me, you may not completely express this truth immediately. And this is why we engage in spiritual practice. It is a practice because it is something we may need to do over and over until we get it right. And even then, we know from the greats that even when we achieve mastery practice, practice is still needed. Michael Jordan, Michael Jackson, Tom Brady, all fathers, are two examples or three examples of that. And even though she's not a father, I've got to give credit to my sister Beyonce, because nobody practices more or harder than Beyonce. So we have got to practice. And so what I encourage you to do is find that spiritual practice that speaks to your soul and make it a part of your daily routine. It may be meditation. It may be an affirmation. It may be a song you sing. Whatever it is, or they are, because you can have more than one, put it to use. And then be patient with yourself and trust that the God of your being is bringing your good to pass. Ernest Holmes said it this way: the quiet, but sure, right action of God peacefully adjusts everything in my life as I surrender all doubt, ignorance, and fear. And one other truth that I mentioned earlier when talking to fathers, this which is true for you is also true for all others. No one should have to prove anything to you either. So if there's any gift that you can give the fathers in your life on this Father's Day, give them the gift of being released from any expectation that they have to prove themselves to you. Allow them to be their pure, unvarnished selves with you. And I expect that you'll be amazed and thrilled with the treasures you'll find and the rich relationships that you will develop. We are one with God. God's love is unconditional. So our love should be unconditional also. Unconditional love for ourselves and others sets us all free. So, I want you to please repeat the following affirmation with me one more time. And I'll say it, and then I'll ask you to say it with me. I choose now to be myself rather than prove myself. I have nothing to prove. I choose now to be myself rather than prove myself. Say that. I have nothing to prove. And that's the truth. So, now I ask you to just sit and let's go into meditation together. Close your eyes. Take a couple of deep breaths, clearing all tension from your being and your body. Now I ask you to see yourself in a nature setting. The grass is around your feet. You feel the wind blowing past you. Feels good. Temperature's just right. And you are walking and you come upon a stream. And you see it, the edge of the stream. Well, let's call it a river. Make it a little bit bigger. Edge of this river. We see all these different pebbles. And I want you to just stoop down and scoop up a handful of pebbles. And we're going to take a pebble and we're going to toss it into the river. And with each pebble, we are going to release something that we've been carrying. I take a pebble and I toss it in. I release, proving to anybody that I'm smart enough. You toss a pebble in. What will you release? And I want you to just, in your mind's eye, stand there and release some of the things that you have been carrying, pebble by pebble. Release them, because you have nothing to prove. What's that song we sang? I release and I let go. I let the spirit run my life. My heart is open wide and I am only here for God. No more struggle, no more strife with my faith. I see the light. I am free in the spirit. Yes, I am only here for God. And as you come back to this place and time, I ask you to join me in this affirmative prayer. What I know is God. God omnipotent, God omnipresent, God. And because God is omnipresent, what I know is that I and everyone under the sound of my voices are part of God. They are one with God. I am one with God. That has to be the truth. And because we are one with God, that means that all that God created is available to us, is present within us. It is part of our being. It is part of our inherent inheritance. It's just part of what we are entitled to by being part of God. And because we are entitled to the riches of heaven, to the good of heaven, we open up our minds and our hearts to receive it. We open up our minds to the knowing that we are perfect just as we are. God loves us just as we are. God never makes a mistake. And when it chose intentionally and consciously to make us, it knew what it was doing. It knew what it was creating. And it loves us just the way we are. We are itself expressed. And we are always worthy and good and perfect in God's eyes. And we choose to see ourselves that way. We choose to see all others whom we encounter that way. We choose to see the fathers in our lives that way. We choose to see the children and our coworkers and other families, the sisters and brothers in our lives in that way. We choose to know their own divine perfection as we recognize our own and to treat all accordingly. And so we are the ones that we have been waiting for. Yes, we become the ones that set the path, that demonstrate and express the light of the divine here on this earth plane. And by being that light for ourselves and all others, we set ourselves free and live a life that is beautiful and abundant and joyful and whole and healthy and peaceful and prosperous. We live a life to celebrate here and now. We don't have to wait for a by and by. We get to do it here and now. And for that, I am so grateful. For this truth, for this knowing that we have nothing to prove to anyone ever. I am so grateful. And I release this word to the Lord, knowing that Spirit has receded, knowing that Spirit has taken it and made it already perfect, whole, and complete before it even left my mouth. Spirit already said, yes, yes, yes. And I ask you to join me in that sacred, that holy yes, by affirming here together. And so it is. So it is. Ashe and Amen.
Thank you, Eamon. Thank you for your bold, declarative voice this morning. We appreciate you. And we are grateful too. Thank you so very much.